Good morning. It's great to see you guys here. It's been a couple of weeks. We didn't meet last week, and I hope you guys had a great Christmas. We missed seeing each of you. It's great to have everybody back together again this morning. We're beginning a series today that will run through January out of Genesis chapters 1 through 3. Genesis 1 through 3, and today we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1 as we look at creation. And the question I would ask you this morning, have you ever heard anybody say to you, don't forget where you came from? Or maybe you've heard people say that, maybe in not so many words, or maybe those in those exact words, don't forget where you came from. I grew up not far from here in a little town in western North Carolina, and the place I grew up, there was a lot of pride in that area. There was a lot of pride in the people who lived there, and sometimes people would say it in these exact words, maybe not in so many words, to other people and to me, especially when I left home to go away, to go to college. Don't forget where you came from. What were they saying? They were saying, when you get out there, when you leave home, remember what grounded you so that when you get away from here, the values and the teachings and what's important will guide you in the future. That's what they were saying. A lot of you guys are familiar with Heath Shuler, who used to be the quarterback here at Tennessee. And he's from western North Carolina, and he just won election into the House of Representatives from a district in western North Carolina. Now, I saw him on the news over and over and over during the election, and one thing that he would say over and over and over as he was stumping throughout western North Carolina was he talked about taking mountain values to Washington, D.C. I'm going to take mountain values to Washington, D.C. He said it over and over, and it really began to connect with people. One of the reasons he got elected. What was he saying? When I leave here, when I go to Washington, I promise you that the things that you count as important, the values, the teachings, the beliefs, those things are going to guide me in the decisions that I make when I leave here, when I go represent you. Well, in one way, that's what we're talking about throughout the month of January as we look at Genesis. Why? Because Genesis is about beginnings. Genesis is about our origin. It's where we came from. And our belief is the better understanding that we have of where we came from, of how God created the world, of how He created man, of the purposes that He set up, and what happened in the fall, and redemption that God provided. What God did in creation in Genesis 1 through 3 will help you and I better understand what we've been created for and how to achieve that. How are we going to be the person that we know God wants us to be? All of us have asked the question at some time or another, what am I here for? Why am I here? Genesis helps answer some of those questions. Now, we'll see it in different places in Scripture, but especially in Genesis 1:1 that we read this morning. We see that God claims the universe as His own. That's the first thing we see. God claims the universe. It's His. Now, that sounds very elementary. It's theology 101, but it's the truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's His. And from that place, He began to create. He's always existed. We know that to be true. And as I read in Genesis chapter 1 a while ago, God began to create a rhythm in creation that continues even today. God said this over and over and over with each day, let there be. He would say, let there be light. And then He would say, and it was so. And then He would say, and it was good. Let there be an expanse between the waters. And it was so. And it was good. And He said that over and over and over with each day. Let there be, and it was so, and it was good. And when it became to man, let there be, and it was so, and it was very good, God said. And so what God began to do is He began to create a rhythm in our lives and a rhythm in creation. And on the last day, He established the Sabbath, and it says that God rested from all of His work. And so what He did for us is He began to set in play, He began to set in course for us a rhythm to our lives, a way that we're supposed to live our lives. There's work and there's rest. And as we work and as we rest, as God's asked us to, then we'll achieve the rhythm that God's created us for. We'll become the person that He wants us to be, because on those days of rest, what do? We take the time to reflect on the fact that He is our Creator. We take time to sit back and worship Him because He is the God who has no beginning. We take time to reflect on the fact that He did create everything out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. It came into being out of His sheer power. We praise Him for that, and we thank Him for His creation. That's what the seventh day is for. And so there becomes a rhythm to our lives that God set in place for us. There's a rhythm of work and rest. And when we recognize that the universe is God's, we realize that something within us has become compartmentalized. When you and I begin to grasp the reality that the universe is God's, it's His. He set it in place, and it's about His purposes. You and I come into a better understanding of the fact that we're fragmented, that He is in control, that He does know what's going on, and He does know the end. We don't. And we have to reclaim the universe as God's in our mind because we get away from that. We get away from the fact that it's His. And there are all kinds of opinions out there. I mean, when you read Genesis 1, sometimes the first thing that people's mind go to is straight to creation and evolution. And there's all kinds of opinions out there about that, and opinions that really tear people apart sometimes. And whether the earth is 4,000 years old or 4.6 million years old or whatever it was, there's still questions about the story. Because you see, science tries to ask the questions of how and what. How was everything put together? And what was the material that everything was made of? Those are okay questions. They're good questions, but it's really not what Genesis is concerned about. Genesis is more concerned about who and for what purpose and why. That's what Genesis is talking about. Because when we just deal with the how, and the what, the story's incomplete for us. A lot of us have sat in a biology class at some point, and you sit there, and sometimes you maybe even heard somebody teach on evolution, and all of a sudden there's this kind of tension inside of you, and they're talking about how people could have evolved. Not that God really created man out of the dust of the earth and put him into place and gave him purpose, but that we just evolved. And some of us have been in those biology classes and you've heard somebody teach and you're thinking, I don't really agree with that. But I've got Genesis 1, but I don't feel like I'm strong enough or knowledgeable enough to stand up and say, but what about Genesis 1? And I don't know what to say, and I'm afraid I'll look like an idiot, and I'm afraid this person will make me feel really small, and I really don't. But the question we can ask is this. When we hear all about the how and the what, the question we can ask is for what purpose and why? Because in creation, God gives us the why, and He gives us the purpose of why we've been created. We are part of His creation. We are. In God's story, the universe is His. He claims it. He owns it. And we're part of that creation. We're not separated from it. We don't analyze it from a distance. And the key is this. Creation becomes the context for our spirituality within creation. This is where faith shows up. It's where spirituality shows up. You know where meeting God shows up? It shows up in a neighborhood, in a specific zip code, at a specific address, at a specific house, with a specific family. It shows up with a young person who's just not as tall as he wants to be, who feels like he has too many pimples on his face. It shows up with a lady who feels like she doesn't have the right body image, and with a man who feels like that he can't get his schedule under control, and with a young lady who wants to be protected and cared for. That's where spirituality shows up. It shows up in the nitty-gritty of creation. But what we tend to do is we tend to separate ourselves from the messiness of creation. We want to separate ourselves from the fact that we are woven into the fabric of God's creation. We're part of it. And so what happens is when things become messy for us sometimes, we want to disengage. when things aren't perfect or people aren't necessarily as attractive or when life's not working out the way that we want it to, when people have problems and for some reason we found ourselves in their life. We have people in our lives that drive us nuts. They drive us crazy. But we begin to think that the place that we're meant to experience God is in that 10 minutes of euphoria. That's where God is. We think that's what relationship with God is supposed to be like. And God says, I'm going to create a garden for you to work in with people. And that's where you're going to find me. That's what God says. You see, this wasn't as hard maybe for some of the people of Israel because they were an agrarian society. They grew up knowing what it was like to toil the ground and to raise crops. They knew what it was like to celebrate those festivals of that had to do with the land. They knew what it was like to make animal sacrifices for forgiveness of sins and for thank offerings to the Lord. God doesn't just meet us in that deep place only, but He meets us in the context of creation. Eugene Peterson, who was a pastor for 30 years and is now an author, Eugene Peterson says that when he was a young boy and he was growing up in the church that he grew up in, when he was about 9 or 10 years old, there was a lady in his church who was about 90 years old, and she had made it known to the church that the Lord had revealed to her that He was not going to come back. He was going to come back while she was alive. He was not going to come back after she died. He was going to come back while she was alive. And she made that known. And he said he thought as a 9 or 10 year old boy, well, I better pay attention because I don't think I'm going to make it to puberty, you know. I mean, she's 90 years old and she's saying the Lord's going to come back while she's alive. And he said he can remember going by her house and knowing about her. And you go by her house and she was always in her house. And she was always in there with her Bible. And she was never really interacting with anybody else. You know why? Because she wanted to be ready. She wanted to be ready because she was convinced that the Lord was going to come back in her lifetime. She didn't interact with anybody else. She stayed inside her locked door with her shades drawn. And he said, if I could go back, what I'd like to do is knock on her door and say, He's here. And you're missing Him. He's here. Doesn't mean He's not going to come back. He's going to come back. He came the first time as a baby. He's going to come the second time back to receive us as His own. But He's here in the context of creation. He's among us. God, as Creator, is deeply rooted in His people. Abraham says this in Genesis 14. I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath. Abraham knew that God was the Creator. And throughout the Scriptures, it's revealed that God is the Creator. The writer of Deuteronomy goes on to say in Deuteronomy 32:6, is this the way you repay the Lord? Is He not your Creator and made you and formed you? Did you hear that? The writer of Deuteronomy is saying, not only is He the Creator, but He made you and He formed you. Don't forget that you are part of His creation. That's what he's saying. Then Solomon, in all of his wisdom, Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this, and he gives us a great reminder of the importance of creation. He says, remember your creators. Now listen to this. He talks about our youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. What's he saying? Remember the days of your youth. Why? Remember the days of your youth and before the days of trouble come and the years approach and you say, I find no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator, he says. What's he saying? While you're young, and let that carry on with you in life. Remember, your Creator is good. And remember His creation. Remember it before the wonder of His creation leaks out of you. And you become consumed with all the 50-hour work weeks and paying your mortgage and writing your bills and running your car to and fro and all of your appointments and all of your responsibilities. Remember that before you lose the wonder that He's a beautiful Creator and His creation is beautiful and He can be worshipped in it before you get consumed with textbooks and tests. Remember that before you're overwhelmed. And in the midst of gutting it out of life, the wonder of creation bleeds out of our life because we just approach it as gutting it out. Then we come to John's Gospel. John 1 says this, and he takes us back to the beginning. He takes us back to Genesis. John says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and He was God in the beginning. And through Him," he's talking about Jesus here, "Jesus was the Word. And through Him," Jesus, "all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made." What's he saying? He's saying, go back to the beginning. Moses said this in Genesis 1:1 when he was writing that, as God just beautifully inspired him about what had happened earlier. In the beginning, God created. John says, in the beginning was the Word. John says, in the beginning was Jesus. What's he saying? He's saying this, that Jesus is one of the primary agents in creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was present in creation. He is the Creator. The universe is His. The universe owes its existence to Jesus Himself. Colossians is even stronger. It goes even further. It says, not only was Jesus in the beginning, not only was He the Creator, but listen to this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, which is what John said, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him, John says. Paul says in Colossians. Everything was created by Jesus and for Jesus. Everything in the physical world. Every neuron, every neutron, every proton, and I don't even know what those words mean. Everything was created by Him. Everything in the physical world, all of plant life, all of physical life, and all rulers were created by Him. But this is the point where our heart and our ego begin to disconnect with the story. Everything was created by Jesus and for Jesus. You see, I want creation to be for me, not Him. I want creation to revolve around me and what I want. We want the story to revolve around us, not that He's the center of creation. We want it to be me. And the writer of Hebrews says this, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word." Don't miss that word. Sustaining. What's He say? John and Paul said He created all things in Him and for Him. And the writer of Hebrews says, and He sustains it. What does that mean? That means that God didn't just create everything in 7 days and He stepped back and He just started watching everything and hoped it all worked out. It says that every day of our lives when we wake up and everything that happens in our lives, our bodies and the way they're made up, this world and the way it's made up with plant life and animal life, this galaxy and this world is sustained by Him every day. And without His presence, it would be chaos. That's what it says. He created it. He formed it for Himself, by Him, for Him, and He sustains it. He sustains the very breath that we draw in this room right now. He keeps my heart beating and your heart beating right now. He sustains us. That's what He does. And as Christ followers, when we hear that, there's a part of us that says, yes, I believe that. That's true. And what that makes me want to do is worship Him because I see who He is. But then there's another part. There's that part in us that's functional that says, how does that make a difference in my life? What difference does that make in my life? I mean, really, Genesis 1, what difference? We're talking about shifting our thinking. Our mindset has got to move from ourself and our function and what goes on in our lives to the one who has been created as, to the one who is king and who's created everything as king. And that the creation exists in order to worship Him. When our perspective changes, several things are going to happen. I want to talk about that. When you and I, when our perspective changes and we begin to see God for who He is and we begin to see creation as the context for how He wants us to worship Him, several things are going to begin to happen. We will awaken ourselves that we're living in ordinary mystery, that everything that goes on, everything that around us are miracles from God. Elizabeth Barrett Browning said this in her poem, Aurora Leigh. Listen to this. Four lines. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes, and the rest sit round and pluck blueberries. The earth is crammed with heaven, and every bush afire with God. There are millions of little wonders that exist because of God's creation. It's all around us. I doubt there was a one of us that worried last night when we closed our eyes and we tried to get to sleep if the sun was going to come up this morning. It just did. And tonight the moon will come out. And not a one of us woke up this morning and said, you know what? I think I need to breathe in. I need to breathe out. I need to breathe in. I need to breathe out. Hope my heart gets started this morning. You know what? It beat all last night. There's a million little wonders in our world and in our lives every day that when you and I pause for a moment, we have something to thank God for. There's a million little wonders in our lives that when we pause, we can worship the God of creation where we are, where we stand, in our bathrobe, with our bed hair and our smelly breath. We can worship Him right there. Because He's there. So many people wonder. So much people wonder, where is the wonder? And so much wonder and mystery are going on all the time. All the time. When we just even stop and look at God's creation. We look at the bird that's outside your window and you look at how everyone is created differently and how every different species, the feathers, are so different on them. And when you consider that the leaves of the rhododendron, when it turns cold, turn under. And in the springtime, it blooms out. And if you're a fisherman, you can tell the difference between the rainbow and the speckled and the brown trout. They're all different. God created them differently. And every time we see one, it's an object of praise to Him as the Creator for His creation. It's the wonder that all things around us, the ordinary things, in creation is where we find Him. And when we live our lives in the context of the kingdom, we begin to awaken our hearts to that reality. We have to fight the fight of faith to keep that perspective. Because everything in us and everything around us wants us to change. It requires intentionality on our parts to risk, to not miss it. But what happens in our lives so often is we settle for the reduced life. We miss those things that are happening around us. And we get sucked into life right now and the things that drain us right now. And we're no longer awake to the mystery of creation created for me. And we go to bed and the only dreams that we have are our dreams about what I want and what's important to me and what I want for the future and what I want right now. And so we fight the fight of faith to keep the perspective that the universe is Jesus's, not mine. And everything was created by Him and for Him, and He sustains all things. He's the sustainer. He's the creator. And God says, it's good in all these little things. They're all good. And when you watch a newborn baby being born, and some people just don't get it. When you see a newborn baby being born, and you know that that's part of the gospel. It's new life. And He's worthy to be praised. We enter into a world created and sustained by Jesus. And what that should do in us is it should evoke worship in us. It should evoke worship. And it's easy to say, you know, sometimes it's easy to say, well, I see those mountains and I see those rivers and I see His creation. And I love to connect with Him out there and I praise Him for that. But you know, even in the micro, the small things and the macro, the large things, the micro things, the nucleus, the cells in your body that are made up of nucleus and who that divide and that contain DNA. Jesus says, I created that and I sustain that. And when you begin to think about not the small things but the large things, and when you begin to think about the fact that our earth sits in a solar system with other planets, within a galaxy that's more than we can comprehend, with hundreds and thousands of other galaxies that's more than we can comprehend. Jesus said, I created that and I sustain it. I created it and I created it for me. That's what He says. And it's hard to let our minds wrap around that. But the Jesus that we worship says, all things are mine. They're created for me and by me. And so we worship Him in the grind of everyday life, not just in removing ourselves, but within the context of creation. The funny thing is this, a lot of times when we think of creation, when I think of creation, a lot of times I think, maybe you do too, you know what, I'm going to go out, I'll tell you what I like to do, I just like to get away from everything, I just want to get away from here, I want to get out there and fish where it's quiet, and I want to go hiking. And I want to get away from people. I want to get away from everybody else. And the pinnacle of His creation is humanity. It's okay to want to get away. But what happens in our minds so often is, if I can just get away from people, things will be better. If people were just not messing up my life, things would be better. And Jesus says, God says, and it was very good. It was the high point of His creation. And when we see people as the high point of creation, it motivates us to obey Him when He says to love and serve my enemy. And when we begin to see people as the pinnacle of God's creation, it motivates us to serve and to love the people that don't fit into society. And it motivates us and it pushes us to love the people that used to rub us so wrong. When we begin to view His creation the way He views His creation, and for the homeless person who hasn't bathed and who lives in their own sewage and who may be even mentally handicapped, He's more valuable than any mountain you'll ever see. He's more valuable than anything we'll ever take in with our eyes, any privacy that we'll ever discover or enjoy in nature. He's more valuable because He's the high point of His creation. You know why? Because He said, I put my stamp in Him. I create Him in my image. That's what He does. And in this room are filled with the high point of God's creation. There are stories and there are recreations and new creations, and there are people here in this room. This is the high point. It's when we begin to do life with each other and we begin to meet people that are not like us, and we meet people that we love and that we have things in common with, and we meet people that are so unlike us, who say things that we don't say, who live differently than we do, who rub us the wrong way, who are just different. This room is filled with those lives, those rebirth experiences, those stories that are the high point of His creation. It's beautiful. It's messy. It's the fall wreaked with havoc. It's sin-soaked. We'll talk about that more in the weeks to come. Don't you look forward to that? It's beautiful and it's messy all at the same time. And the beautiful part of the story is in John 1:14. The beautiful thing is when John says that He became flesh and He made His dwelling among us. What's that mean? That the Creator Jesus, who's always existed, who created everything by Him and for Him, decided that He was going to come and He was going to be a part of His creation. And when He did, He made redemption and transformation. He made salvation and becoming more like Jesus available to us. Why? Because He came into a messy world. And He came in, and because of that, the cross became available. And the empty tomb became a reality. And for you and I, salvation, knowing God, knowing the best life possible, living for eternity, and becoming more like Jesus every day became possible. The One who creates and sustains everything enters in to redeem and transform. And the invitation for us is this: will you walk in the mystery of His creation? Will you enjoy the creation that He's given us? Will you allow His reign over creation to be the way that you actually experience creation and the way you actually experience life? Will you allow the busyness and the chaos to reduce your life because of your schedule and your ego? Or will we worship Him because the universe is His? Because He's in a million places to be worshipped. And because He has put us in this place to experience Him. Will you do that? We can, but we have to fight the fight to keep the perspective, to be rooted, that this is where spirituality takes place. This is where spirituality takes place. This is where we meet God. With people. With life. Every day. And that we don't allow the world to reduce our life, but that we proclaim His worship in the millions of things that we see every day. Creation is speaking of His glory. Let us see Him and worship Him and love Him in it. Let's pray together.